It is 5:10. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the opening bell. Today is Tuesday. It's September 13th, 2016, and welcome to another business day. Welcome to another edition of the opening bell. We have lots to talk about today. We're going to be talking with someone from the USGS, one of the geophysicists, about a new study, research study he's done on Midwest earthquakes, specifically the New Madrid Fault, and whether or not we're waiting for a big one to hit. Well, later in the broadcast, we're also going to be talking about social entrepreneurship. We'll tell you what it is and why it is a growing trend. But first, we begin at the WGN Market Desk. Dow futures, as you heard Vic tell you there, are a little bit lower this morning, by about 100 points lower. The S&P NASDAQ futures are lower as well. This follows a day yesterday where we saw the markets rebound quite a bit as Chicago became the center of the financial universe. It was because Fed Governor Lil Brainard was in Chicago speaking at an event here, and she sounded the warning about Federal Reserve policy moving forward, but it was actually in the direction we all thought it would not go. Everybody's been betting there might be a rate increase this year, but she seemed to suggest that that wouldn't happen and that there might be some waiting on the part of the Federal Reserve. This is what she said yesterday to the Chicago Foreign Relations Council.
In the presence of uncertainty and the absence of accelerating inflationary pressures, it would be unwise for policy to foreclose on the possibility of making further gains in the labor market. Disinflation pressure and weak demand from abroad will likely weigh on the U.S. outlook for some time, and fragility in global markets could again pose risks here at home.
Her comments yesterday seemed to buoy stocks. Yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrials gained about 300 points, 250 points, 1.5%. The Standard & Poor's jumped as well, 1.5%, and the NASDAQ also jumped about 1.5%. This morning on the WGN Market Desk, again, benchmark U.S. crude oil is below 46 bucks a barrel. The dollar gained against the yen and the euro. So what do we make of the Fed Reserve governor's comments yesterday? We went to Bob Johnson of the American College of Financial Services.
She basically put the brakes on, I believe, put the brakes on a rate hike in the near term. And I really don't believe there was going to be a rate hike anyway, but the markets got spooked.
Now, the markets are spooked again this morning. Again, Dow futures off more than 100 points, looking forward to a lower open on Wall Street when the bell rings later on this morning. A couple of things that could drive the markets later on this afternoon. The Treasury Department will report on how much money Uncle Sam took in and paid out last month. The July report showed that the federal government's receipts and outlays translated into a deficit of about $112 billion for the month. Economists anticipate the August shortfall at least $100 billion. In Oklahoma, they're still surveying damage, still calculating the cost of last week's earthquake, a big earthquake that hit there last week. There's also a new debate that's brewing there today about who's going to pay for all of that damage. In the state, meanwhile, the government is moving to quickly stop some oil and gas production, which might be blamed for some of this. Some insurance companies are suggesting they may not pay for some of the damage because they think this is man-made, not God-made, is one of the headlines from Oklahoma today. So, which is it? Is it something that is being caused by oil and gas production? And is it something that we could also be fearful of here in Illinois? Illinois has approved fracking. It has not begun yet. Let's bring in a physicist, geophysicist from the United States Geological Survey in Golden, Colorado. His name is Will Lewandowski. Will, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Hey, it's nice to talk to you.
It's good to have you on. You've probably been following closely, like the rest of us, what's been happening in Oklahoma. You're an earthquake guy, and you have great research out there. We're going to be talking about a little later about the New Madrid Fault that you've been studying. So which is it in Oklahoma? Is it man-made or God-made?
Well, it's not possible to say whether any given earthquake is caused or triggered or induced by human activities. At best, the evidence for any individual earthquake would be circumstantial. However, there's an enormous consensus in the scientific community that the rates of seismicity that we see in Oklahoma and the spatial patterns of seismicity are related to human activities, specifically to wastewater reinjection.
And so when we overgeneralize and say it's caused by fracking, not necessarily by fracking itself, but fracking-related activities, it's this injection of water back into the ground.
Well, this sort of ingestion can be associated with oil and gas development that doesn't involve hydraulic fracturing. But the vast majority of human-induced earthquakes are not directly related to hydraulic fracturing, but rather to wastewater reinjection.
We're going to get into some of these numbers. Well, when we come back, we have to check traffic this morning first, and then we'll get into the study about the New Madrid Fault, which a lot of us are worried about. We've grown up with this, especially some of our residents to the south in southern Illinois. We'll continue our discussion and conversation this morning with Will Lewandowski, a geophysicist from the United States Geological Survey in Colorado.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, stocks soared on Monday following a speech by an influential Fed policymaker that indicates she's in no rush to raise interest rates. The Dow Jones jumped 239 points to close at 18,325. The S&P 500 gained 31 points, and the NASDAQ surged nearly 86. Americans have seen their grocery bills fall over the last 8 months. The government says egg prices have dropped by about a dollar a dozen, and a gallon of milk is 40 cents cheaper this year than last. The Chevrolet Bolt will be the first mass-market electric vehicle to cross the 200-mile benchmark, traveling 238 miles on a single charge in testing. The Bolt goes on sale later this year for about $37,500 before a $7,500 federal electric vehicle tax credit. Weight Watchers is starting a search for a new chief executive officer after CEO James Chambers announced that he's leaving. Shares of the weight loss program operator fell 4.5% in after-hours trading. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking this morning to Will Lewandowski. He's a geophysicist with the USGS, the United States Geological Survey, based in Golden, Colorado. Will, before the break, we were talking about some of these earthquakes and what might be causing them. I'm drawn to a map that your agency put out this year about the potential danger from natural and something called induced earthquakes. Can you tell us what induced earthquakes are?
Induced earthquakes are earthquakes that are facilitated, not exactly caused, but encouraged from a physics perspective by human activities. And the most common human activity that encourages seismicity is wastewater injection. It's an increase in the pressure of water in the subsurface that functions much like the air on a knock hockey table. It reduces the effective friction on faults and lets them slip at lower stresses.
And so that brings us to this whole notion of the oil and gas production activities that are going on in Oklahoma. The number of earthquakes in Oklahoma, by the way, over the past couple of years, in 2009, on average, two earthquakes a year in Oklahoma of three magnitude or greater. Last year, there were 907 about, roughly. The big one, obviously, was the 5.6, or was it 5.8 recently? That was a pretty big one. It has brought attention to the New Madrid Fault here in Illinois, because I know the USGS puts out every year a hazards report on earthquakes. And this year there's a big bullseye right on southern Illinois. You've studied the New Madrid Fault. Give us a sense as we transition from this fracking notion over to your recent study. If these are induced earthquakes are actually happening, is that activity something you'd want to do to one of the faults where the two biggest earthquakes on Earth have been recorded?
Well, to clarify, they weren't the largest earthquakes on Earth. In 1811 and 1812, three magnitude, about 7.5 events occurred in and around New Madrid, Missouri, near southern Illinois. And so those are the three largest earthquakes ever felt east of the Rockies, just to clarify that. Okay. And I'm unaware of any proposed injection wells or similar industrial activities in or near the New Madrid seismic zone. There's oil and gas production in southern Illinois and the Illinois Basin, but I'm unaware of what wastewater injection or hydraulic fracturing operations are either proposed or operating in the new matter jackets on itself.
Anyway, your groups down there over the weekend had a rally. They're still on guard. Apparently, Illinois has authorized this, but none of these permits have been issued yet. They could be at any time, but they have not yet. Obviously, there are people there that are worried because of the Shawnee National Forest, the natural resources that are there. Fracking oil and gas production aside, the New Madrid Fault by itself is a danger lurking. Your recent study has pinpointed more exactly what we know, what you know about the fault. Give us a sense of what your research has found.
Well, what we were trying to do was to develop a framework to complement the current seismic hazard modeling methodology, which is purely retrospective. The earthquakes that go into that hazard model are earthquakes that are recorded by seismometers, earthquakes that have been felt by people and recorded. This would be before seismometers. And earthquakes that we know occurred from geologic features. And so each of those three sources of information is inherently retrospective. The earthquake has to occur. What we're trying to do is to develop a framework to add a prospective component to understanding seismic hazard. And that is, if we could understand the physics of earthquakes far from tectonic plate boundaries, in this case specifically in and around the New Madrid seismic zone, it might be possible to, as I said, complement that retrospective observation-based view with a prospective physics or model-based estimate or understanding of where seismicity is most likely in the future.
And so I know the map that you guys put out every year has southern Illinois in this red and purple area. Is it something that we're overdue for? I know people use that term kind of loosely, but is it something that this New Madrid Fault hasn't put a big one out in a while? Is it something we're overdue for, I guess, is the best way to ask it?
Well, the earthquakes don't occur regularly. And so particularly on faults that are far from the boundaries of tectonic plates, earthquakes occur periodically but not regularly. And so saying that a fault is overdue or not overdue is a little tricky, particularly far from tectonic plate boundaries. So what we do know is that there are high rates of seismicity, high rates of earthquakes in the United Seismic Zone, particularly compared to the rest of the central industry in the U.S. If you go back 5 or so years before the growth of this earthquake rate in Illinois, the United was the most active place east of the Rockies in the conterminous U.S. And so there does seem to be reason, both from a retrospective point of view, the fact that there are more earthquakes, you know, larger earthquakes have occurred in the United Seismic Zone. We know that they've occurred in prehistoric times as well from geologic indicators. And also from this physics-based prospective view that there are elevated risks, elevated rates of seismicity in the United in the future. So that bullseye there on the United, I think, is substantiated both by the historical record and by the physics, as we present in this paper that we sent.
Well, we look forward to following your work on this, and thanks to the USGS for always being on guard and letting us know about these things. We'll link to your study online. It's Will Lewandowski with the United States Geological Survey, the USGS from Golden, Colorado. Appreciate you getting up very early in the morning to be with us. Will, thanks.
Of course. I'm happy to do it.
All right.
Thanks for your interest.
The Hollywood actor, director, and activist George Clooney has presented a report in Washington alleging that South Sudan's leaders have made themselves rich during the three-year civil war that's impoverished the rest of the country. He commissioned the report, and his investigative unit, The Sentry, spent 2 years investigating the claims.
Trying to show he's transparent, Donald Trump's promising to share the results of a recent physical.
I'll be handing out a paper with very large numbers of very detailed, hopefully good statistics.
Fortune magazine's published its annual league table of the fastest growing companies in the world. Facebook's third in the rankings. Despite its size, the social media giant has grown revenues over 50% in the last 3 years.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program as we continue our conversation this morning. As you heard us talking about at the beginning of this program yesterday, Chicago was at the center of the financial world as one of the leading Fed governors was giving a speech for the Chicago Foreign Relations Council here. And her comments yesterday moved the markets in a big way. The Dow finished the day up about 239 points. Well, Brainerd is one of the go-to people on the Federal Reserve, and generally her comments indicate Fed policy. She's right generally in line with Janet Yellen. Here is more of what she told the Foreign Relations Council yesterday.
From a risk management perspective, the asymmetry in the conventional policy toolkit would lead me to expect policy to be tilted somewhat in favor of guarding against downside risks relative to preemptively raising rates to guard against upside risks.
She also talked about concern about the global economy moving forward and where things stand right now with the current job market and with productivity and other economic data here in the United States.
The U.S. economy has seen welcome progress on some fronts in recent months, supported by the cautious approach taken by the committee and a corresponding easing in financial conditions. The labor market has continued to improve, consumer confidence has remained high, and we've navigated past some near-term risks too. From abroad. Recent data on the labor market and aggregate spending suggest we're continuing to move toward full employment, but progress has been and likely will be somewhat gradual.
Well, Brainerd, Federal Reserve Governor, speaking yesterday in Chicago. By the way, this big meeting we've been telling you about, the decision by the Federal Reserve, the Federal Open Market Committee will meet on September 23rd. We expect a decision some decision at least, whether they will or won't raise interest rates. It's having a big impact again this morning on Wall Street. The Dow futures have been off significantly as we've moved through the morning. They've improved a little bit, still off triple digits now. The Dow futures off 103 points. The NASDAQ futures off about 13, and the S&P futures are off as well as we move forward this morning. Out in San Francisco this week, TechCrunch is having their big Disrupt meeting. And yesterday, a group of Chicagoans took the stage in the hackathon. It's a very rare opportunity for a company to get this chance to be in front of a lot of folks. The company is called IFM Technologies, Better Inventory Through Drones. That's right. They use drones to check inventories of manufacturing warehouses. All of the participants of this company are Northwestern students. Mark Goinsoya, I should say. Siddharth Jain is one of them. I hope I'm not completely brutalizing your names. Nathan Matsutsa and Harrison Green, all of Northwestern engineering students and business students, were on the stage yesterday presenting their technology. Let's listen to a little bit of what happened yesterday at the tech conference Disrupt.
Okay, so second batch of companies. First up, we have IFM Technologies. Presenting for IFM are Mark Giangosi and Siddharth Jain. Come on up, guys. All right, 6 minutes on the clock. Take it away.
Look around you. Almost everything you have in your hands has at one point or another been in a warehouse like this one. There are over 800,000 warehouses in the United States, and each one of them houses tens of thousands of different goods. The biggest problem in every one of these warehouses is keeping track of inventory. Today, that is a highly manual and incredibly slow process. And beyond that, it doesn't even ensure accuracy. Because of it, things get lost in the warehouse all the time, and workers spend hours every week searching for missing items. And when I say searching, I mean climb on forklifts, climb on ladders, or, as you see here, bring binoculars to work because the racks are so tall. Companies lose billions of dollars because of inventory errors every year. My name is Mark. I'm the CEO and founder of IFM, and we automate inventory counting using flying robots. IFM stands for Intelligent Flying Machines. At the core, we are a data analytics company using computer vision and robotics to automate data capture. With my team, among them two PhD students from Northwestern University, backgrounds working at Oculus, numerous peer-reviewed publications, we've built revolutionary flying robots. Our flying robots are able to fly autonomously indoors with centimeter accuracy without any external systems. Why is that special, you ask? Well, existing drones can only fly autonomously outdoors because they rely on GPS. We are using our computer vision software as well as specialized computing hardware to achieve centimeter accurate indoor autonomous flight. We're using these robots in warehouses to solve the inventory problem. Our product consists of three things: a fleet of these flying robots, on-site infrastructure to relay the information we collect to the workers, and real-time analytics software. Today, our solution is geared towards a specific type of warehouse. The fancy term is high bay or selective rack. Really what that means is that you have uniform dimensions, palletized goods, and labels on each one of those pallets. Today, here on stage, we brought a scaled-down version of a warehouse that has been equipped with the IFM system. In a moment, given Wi-Fi connectivity, you're going to see how our robot takes off and scans the boxes in these aisles. This happens in between shifts once the workers leave the warehouse. Let's switch to the demo.
So that's the demo, as you heard yesterday from the TechCrunch Disrupt conference in San Francisco. This is a big deal because the people that get on stage at Disrupt generally are the best of the best of the crop. And trust me, there are dozens and dozens of these small companies and startups that have this opportunity. Only a few get to get up on stage. So we'll be watching them, and we're very proud of them. They're Northwestern students again, and it's called IFM Technologies. And you can follow them on Twitter at IFM_tech. We'll see how they do at the Disrupt conference as it continues today in San Francisco. By the way, if you're a business person and you watch this show, Silicon Valley, yesterday the creators of the show were on the stage at Disrupt, and they had released some secrets. There's also some cutaways, some bloopers that they showed. We can't play some of them on the air, but if you get a chance, go to the TechCrunch website, TechCrunch.com. A few ideas coming up, too, for the next season of Silicon Valley, which sort of mocks all of these startups and all of these folks that work out there in the shadow of Google and Apple. And so you'll find some possibly some new ideas about what's coming up on this season. But very, very funny stuff from some of these bloopers yesterday that were played at Disrupt San Francisco. It's 5:45. We are obviously don't have our guest on social entrepreneurship. We apologize for that. A little miscommunication, communication issues getting connected with that. We hope to bring you that on another Opening Bell someday in the future. So we apologize for that. But thanks for your patience.
You're listening to the Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 5:51 on the WGN Market Desk. The Dow futures are off 95 points this morning. The S&P and NASDAQ futures are lower as well. Crude oil is trading lower. And overseas in Europe and Asia, the markets are mixed. Europe, some of the markets are up, some are down. Germany, France are up. In London and elsewhere, they're down. And in Asia, generally, a mixed day as well. The Nikkei is up about 0.5%. And in Hong Kong, the markets are lower. Let's get the latest on commodities and agriculture now. And good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. As we look at that September crop report yesterday, well, it could have been very bearish, but the overnight grain trade says no, it isn't. As a matter of fact, we are looking at higher prices in soybeans particularly. Soybean production forecast at a record 4,200,000,000 bushels. That's up 3% from the August crop report. It's up 7% from last year. And per acre yield is now at 50.6 bushels per acre. That's up 2.6 bushels from last year. And corn production forecast at 15,100,000,000 bushels, up 11% from last year, down slightly from the August report. per acre yield at 174.4 bushels per acre, and that's down 3/4 of a bushel from the August forecast, but it's up 6 bushels from 2015. As I said, the markets traded lower yesterday, but an overnight trade, we're seeing a bounce back. And we saw a bounce back in cattle prices. Live cattle futures again moving higher yesterday. Not limit up, but more short covering and technical buying. And that helped the cattle market to an upward move again. Now, let me take a moment to say good morning and thank you to the Farm Bureau members of the Scott County Farm Bureau in Davenport, Iowa. We flew out there last night in beautiful flying weather with a good moonshine over the landscape below, and a lot of people turned out for that annual meeting, and I thank you for your warm reception, and have a great but safe harvest year. Have a great day, too. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You have a great day as well. A couple of other stories as we finish out the opening bell this morning. You heard Vic mention this in the news, but another power outage has hit another airline, this time Chicago-based United Airlines, for about 2 hours. Power outages there at the control tower in New Jersey delayed flights 2 hours. Problem at Newark Liberty affected United flights, and apparently this was not a direct impact. It wasn't directly on United. This was more at the tower, control tower there, but it was impacting United in a big way. A lot of their flights delayed. Also, there's a big story out of Detroit today. The Chevrolet Bolt, which is General Motors' Tesla-fighting electric hatchback for the masses, now, we're told by the engineers there, can go 238 miles on a single charge. This announcement being made today by the folks at General Motors. Obviously very proud of that. The car beats the base year rear wheel model Tesla Model S, which can go 210 miles on a single charge, but costs about $28,000 more. So the Bolt, is a bargain when it comes to that. Weight Watchers is looking for a new CEO today. CEO James Chambers is leaving the New York company. Said yesterday that Chambers, who has led the New York company since 2013, is resigning at the end of the month. Weight Watchers have been struggling over the last year or so, even with Oprah Winfrey as their spokesperson. Looking for work, a new forecast on employment and hiring is out today. Says there's a pretty good chance you will find a job. ABC's Daria Allinger talked to the survey's director.
The August jobs report showed hiring slowing a bit, but Manpower's latest employment outlook is encouraging for job hunters.
All 13 industry sectors had a positive outlook. Leisure and hospitality, wholesale and retail trade, and professional business services led the way.
Chris Layden with Experios, Manpower's professional unit, says prospects are also good for people in the STEM fields. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
We talk about lobbyists in Washington. We always talk about big tobacco and the gun lobby. Just imagine this. Sugar lobbyists apparently had a lot of weight, carried a lot of weight back in the day. A new report out today shed some light on the question of researchers at the University of California, San Francisco, have been asking in the medical journal. The Journal of American Medical Association, they've unearthed new internal documents detailing how decades ago the sugar industry paid off scientists at Harvard to downplay any connection between sugar and heart disease and to villainize saturated fats. Here's ABC News medical editor Dan Childs.
Now, these days, obviously, there's a different standard. And if an industry group was to be involved this closely with the science, it would have to be mentioned. In the 1960s, this was not the case.
Follow the money. Also, we've been having a lot of discussion today about earthquakes. And as we've had this discussion this morning, within the last 10 minutes, a strong earthquake has just rattled Tokyo. 5.3 magnitude, just outside of Tokyo, the epicenter just a few miles west of Tokyo. Again, this was a 5.3 magnitude earthquake. I've just seen video on one of the financial networks of the financial reporters in Tokyo getting under their desks, things shaking around there in Tokyo. Doesn't look like any damage or injuries yet. It's just happened within the last half hour, 5.3 magnitude earthquake. We'll continue to follow your money throughout the morning here on 720 WGN, back with another edition of the Opening Bell bright and early tomorrow morning. Until then, have a great day. I'm Steve Grzanich.
Chicago's most accurate weather forecast today on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.